Okay, we're recording now.
I mean, that was all good stuff. That and I was looking at you when I was doing all my jokes. I was looking at you, wasn't I? Going, doing this thing. And I didn't want to say, are we recording? Because I hate when people say that. And if you had a press record, you would have gone, yes, am I dumb? Blah, blah, blah. And you weren't recording. And we missed me referencing TikTok, referencing Groundhog Day, referencing being cold, referencing so many tangents and singing. Basically, what's happened is it's 7 o'clock at night, and we normally record in the morning when I've just had a Ritalin, so I'm a lot more calmer. But now it's 7 o'clock. I haven't had a Ritalin since 2 o'clock, so. So basically, if you say anything that reminds me of a song, I'm going to sing it. That's basically where we're at. Great. So this is Welcome to the Callie Show. I'm your host, Callie, and this is my dog, Jimmy Chocolate Chip, who's on my lap with a blanket on because he's cold in them hills. It's cold, but he's also alert. Because he's like, I think I'm going to hear something. Someone's going to do something. I might hear a car door open. I've got to bark at it. But he's just a baby. He's just a baby. But, yeah, just little sookie baby. Now he's on my lap. There we go. There's a good boy. Anyway, it's cold in Dindar Hills. I don't really run that cold. I run pretty hot. Normally when Damien's like, I'm freezing, I'm like, not that cold. But I've been feeling a little bit of the cold lately. I've been sleeping with a hot water bottle. They're very good. Be careful. Don't let it burst on you because you'll burn your vagina off. Very, very bad. Very bad. I've been watching television today. Today I watched a lot of what did I watch? I watched a documentary about a plane disaster where two planes crashed into each other on the runway and everybody died. The next thing I watched was about a serial killer where everybody died. I mean, it's fun, you know? Things are. I like. And then I was listening to a podcast where everybody dies. Oh, it's good to laugh again.
This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast in the world that talks about all the people dying. I am Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 100 years of murder school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Garden. It's me. The woman who will literally murder you if you don't fucking watch your fucking step, mate. It's Callie. Big whoop for Stuka. Here she is.
Here I am on Friday. I went to an RSL club and with my good friend Rose Bishop. Very funny.
Rosie.
Yeah, we went to RSL because we were just like, let's just get a fucking counter meal.
Let's be as fucking gross and bogan as we can.
And we succeeded. It was great. And the food wasn't bad either. But also, it was like $26 for chicken schnitzel, which
an RSL at a place like that should not be.
They have no right to charge $26.
For our international listeners, just real quick, RSL stands for Return Servicemen League. And it's I don't know. It's this weird sort of bygone thing in Australia where like every suburb has an RSL and it was always kind of like the cheap place where like veterans for our American listeners could go and get a cheap meal and a cheap beer and it was kind of subsidized by people's donations and the government and stuff like that.
Now all of them have poker machines. Now they're just
kind of like pubs.
Yeah, but it's like they have function rooms, they have a pokey place, they have a kids area. They have, death memorabilia all over the world.
The pokies room and the kids' room are the same thing.
Yeah. But, like, it's normally, if we had gone on a different night, like, I think Monday night was, like, fish and chips for $18. Palmy night was a $20 palmer. And then it was a $20 steak on Thursdays. So, Friday, you don't get the deals. But what you do get is the cash cube, which is basically one of those little telephone boxes that they have money in and they put the fan on and you got to grab money in like 30 seconds. Now, to enter the RSL cash cube, you had to spend more than $10 and you get entry form. So I got two entry forms for dinner and then for drinks. My wine was only $8.50, but I bought Rose one too. Anyway, And then I put two things and they called me out. And it was like 18 people in the bistro. So when they called my name out to go into the cash cube, me and Rose let out a massive like, woo, yeah, yes, yes. And everyone's just like looking at us and it's like this is the kind of place it was. I'll give you the hot tip. So when I was waiting at the bar to get a wine, there was a guy in front of me and he's like, yeah, how's it going, mate? Can I get I'll get a shot of tequila.
Yeah.
A latte and a red wine. And then he put up a shot of tequila.
Scrumptious.
I know. And then he did put Shakira O'Neal on the bar. And then he went to make the red wine. And when he went to do the red wine, the guy just like sculled the shot, like just sculled the shot at the bar.
Yeah.
And then he came back with the red wine and he's like, do you want me to come back for my latte? And the guy goes, no, I'll make it now. I'll bring it out to you guys. I'll come back. All right. You'll bring out my latte. And it's that kind of place. But anyway, so I called out my name and I got to go in the cash cube and I grabbed cash and it was really funny and I won $60.
Where did you store all the cash?
In my top.
Yeah.
And
where else?
In my butt. and they gave me $60 and I was like, well, this isn't my money anyway. And I put it right back in the pokies. And it's all gone. So it's $60 that I didn't have all gone. In a very short amount of time too. So I wrote this a little burp for you all. So it's Rose very eloquently put it, the good RSL giveth, the good RSL taketh away. She's like, Rose goes, so she never seen really had much to do with pokies before. She's like, so where's the skill? I'm like, there is no skill. It's all computer bullshit luck. It's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
That's my contribution.
Yeah, but that was your little adventure on Friday night.
A little adventure. Yes, I had a little adventure.
Man, can I complain about something for a second? Why the fuck do loan officers or bank managers or whatever the fuck need to see a copy of your employment contract with your employer? You're not getting it. I'm not giving it to you. Go fuck yourself.
Did your bank ask for that?
Your bank that we're having a meeting with tomorrow night about a home loan wants to see a copy of my employment contract.
Oh, because I haven't read that form yet and I don't even know. I'm pretty sure I do have a – but thing is, my employee contract, when I send it, it went off to HR and I didn't see it again.
You should have a copy of it. I can tell that I am going to hate the interactions with bank, like anyone – anyone who's representing anybody as far as loans are concerned, I'm going to hate them.
Mm.
I'm going to hate the process. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have temper tantrums. Mm-hmm. I'm going to complain about it to anyone. I can already feel it in my bones of like, because I just like the whole dance of it is bullshit as well. You want us. You want us more than we want you. You want to trap us into a 30-year. You know what mortgage means in Latin?
Means stupid idiot?
No, it means death pact. Right? Because the loan...
To the death.
The loan is a loan until you die. That's what it literally means. That's a real thing. You can look it up. So the idea that you're like umming and ahhing, like the bank's umming and ahhing like, oh, I don't know, we might not get bullshit. Just give us the fucking loan. Why do we have to do the dance? Just give us the loan. If we don't pay it back.
If they were giving it everyone.
Too fucking bad.
If they give everyone loans with all the checks and balances, we get what happened in America in the 2008 financial crisis. Didn't you watch The Big Short? Don't you understand how it all works?
It's all bullshit. Just
don't you understand that's how that
I understand how works? It works better than most, Ms. Festuca.
Oh, I don't think you do.
I fucking do. You've already, but what I'm saying is there's like seven different things they ask for and it's all the same shit, right? Like if I've shown you my banking statements for the last 18 months or whatever, then you can also, so if you're actually looking at it, then you can actually see when my fucking pay comes in. Mm. You know what I mean?
But I don't told know if you're a temp or not.
I've told you I work for blah, blah, you know, and so you can see every 2 weeks there's a payment that, from.
But how are they going to know the difference between
what fucking
being,
difference does it make? I could get fired as a fucking full-timer or
yeah, but
a
it's
contractor.
More security for the bank that if you're on a six-month contract rather than permanent.
The security is that if you don't pay the mortgage back, you get kicked out of your house. That's the fucking security.
Yeah, but they don't want the house. They want the money.
They would be happy with both or either.
Mm, I don't know.
Absolutely. When they're holding on to your money, they invest in property. Like, they want property. Mm. It's fine.
All right.
The whole thing is bullshit. Oh, we need your last 18 years of banking statements. We also need your credit card statement. We also need a contract, like, need to see a contract from your work. We also need to see your underwear and make sure there's no skitties in there from today. We need to make sure that you've had a service on your car in the last 6 months.
And welcome to Banking with Damien Gibson.
It's bullshit. It's utter bullshit.
We're talking about you bullshit. Want,
the way that these motherfuckers make money is by getting people into fucking loans to pay off the interest. You pay just as much interest as you do the loan. So the idea that there's going to be some guy called Chuck in a suit going, oh, let me look through this. They don't even look at it. Mm. It's just so they can fucking tick the boxes and then they'll go, okay, here's your fucking loan. We can give you this much.
Oh, Jimmy just farted.
Oh, Jimmy. Protein fart. Protein fart.
Jimmy. Poor baby. What have you been watching this
week?
I'm
a little man who does protein farts. This week I have mainly been watching football. So I don't really have a lot of stuff to tell you about. Hang on, let me think. Oh, I did watch Shaft in Africa, which you watched a little bit of that with me.
Yeah, that was really weird.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was a fun,
just fucking
interesting
chicks
film.
In Africa. It's weird.
Yeah.
You see his penis. You see his dong.
Yeah, you see shaft.
Oh. Settle down, fellas. Don't have too much fun.
Yeah, it's like it's like the first Shaft film is like, you know, the best
Shaft.
Blaxploitation film. But ooh. Shaft in Africa is like it's Shaft. next level.
Yeah, it's great. I actually enjoyed watching it. Because it's got a weird 70s vibe and I don't know, there's something really simple about watching a movie that has like no bells and whistles in terms of like everything now is so CGI'd. I get taken out of it, which brings me to what I watched this week, which has no CGI at all. And this is probably one of the finest, I say it's a television show, but I say filmmaking because that's what it is a few months ago, we did an episode about the TV show Ripley with Andrew Scott, based on the Talented Mr. Ripley book.
Yeah, yeah.
And other film, the same name.
It's in the old archives.
If you look in the archives.
Go and have a
podcast,
listen to that one. It's another
classic from us where we talk about it. Anyway, so I watched the rest of it this week. It's only like 8 episodes or something.
Each episode goes for 3 hours, but it's only 8 episodes.
It doesn't. But probably one of the finest, one of the finest filmmaking experiences I've ever watched. It's incredible. I cannot stress to people how amazing this fucking show is. It's black and white, and it is the person who is like the, I mean, it's all like the director and stuff. The way that they built that. The tension within a scene. There's certain episodes where Andrew Scott says minimal. He's got minimal lines to learn because that particular episode is all about what is happening and what he's doing. And, you know, there might be, because it's set in Italy, there might be one, you know, thing where someone calls and he's like, you know, he's like, buongiorno, prego, okay, all right, arrivederci, hangs up, goes back. So it's not, there's, you know, there's obviously, you know, other episodes aren't like that, but just every sound, every footstep, the kind of shoes they're wearing on the cobblestones, clank, 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 a key going through the door.
Clank, clank, clank,
with
the shoes.
Zang, 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 with the bell. Sing, 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 my heart sing, and the moment I caught you in my bell. Sorry. I told ya. So everything's going to be a song.
I told ya.
I told ya. But seriously, Damien.
Yeah.
I really want you to figure out a way to finish this series because I really feel like you're the kind of avant-garde wanker that would absolutely love this. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I did really like the first episode.
But like, that's the first episode. It's nothing. It's nothing.
It's nothing.
No.
It's nothing.
Well, that's the thing. It's nothing compared to, but the way the story is told, this thriller cat and mouse game, is he going to get caught? Isn't he? Holy shit. It's incredible, Damien. I'm telling you. It's
why do you keep saying my full name? I feel like I'm in
trouble. I really want you to understand what I'm saying. I so badly, because this podcast is no facts or spoilers.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't want to give you the spoiler. I don't.
Oh, mate.
Because it's when it happens, I was like.
I'll chuck in the spoiler for free.
When it happened, I was like, oh, next episode? Next episode? And I was like, they fuck it. Holy shit. Oh, it makes me so excited to talk about the show, man. Ripley, it's fucking great on Netflix.
I did watch something this week.
Yeah.
I did finish something I completely forgot about, which gives you an idea of.
What?
I watched the end of the second season of Loki, Marvel's.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Shit.
Yeah, it's all shit.
It's all shit.
They're bleeding a dog dry. Like, what's the thing?
People talked about Loki late. No, it's actually pretty good. I'm just at the point now where I don't think I can take anybody's advice seriously about anything ever at all.
No.
Like with anything, like fucking home loans, you know what I mean? It's like, no, we definitely need all this stuff. No, you don't.
No.
Loki has gone for over two seasons. I think it's like 8 episodes a season over 3 years. And like there's, from what I can tell, there's zero effect on the fucking Marvel Universe.
Mm.
So just quickly, like at the end of the season, there's the whole thing centered around this thing called the TVA, like the Time Variance Authority or some shit. And it's actually an interesting idea of like essentially they're like this kind of FBI that have to go and fix up timelines that are ruined by superheroes because superheroes go and do all this stuff and it's not the way things are meant to be. And so they go around and they're like a cleanup squad.
An episode of Rick and Morty like that.
Yeah, well, they got that from this because this is from Marvel Comics that are 40 years old.
Oh, right.
So the premise of it is interesting, but the ending very much felt like a year 10 student who only had like 60 words left of their, analytical essay. So it was just like, oh, yeah, like so things are real bad. And then Loki decides, works out that if he like grabs all the time threads and like hangs on to him himself and like basically sacrifices himself, everything will be all good in the hood, the end.
Gave it away. I was going to watch all of those.
Oh, mate, it's fucking, first and foremost,
I couldn't give a shit.
All spoilers, no facts. Mm. And I got fucking sucked in. Mm. I got fucking sucked in because I watched the trailer. I've watched both trailers for Deadpool and Wolverine, which I'm very excited about because I love those Deadpool movies. Mm. Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, chemistry. Mm. And in the trailer, I saw the TVA, which is from Loki. So I was like, oh, I should probably go back and watch Loki because it seems like Loki's going to cross over with Deadpool. I can't see a way where it would. Yeah. Maybe it will.
It'll be some fucking bullshit. Like, people die and doesn't that consequence?
Worse. I think it's even worse than that they've just stuck him like in the film and in the trailer because Loki season 2 isn't doing as well. And so everyone rushes off to watch that because it's in the trailer for something that people actually want to watch.
I just hate it because I feel like there's never any consequences with that stuff because they can go back in time and not do it.
Like, I was actually saying that at work today to a mate, like one of my buddies at work, and we were talking about Loki and we both were like, season 2 sucks. And then I was like, the minute the multiverse was introduced into Marvel, like into the cinematic universe, it's lost all. I mean, even before that, the stakes were so ridiculous it didn't really matter. But now it's just like exactly as you say. Like, no, Wolverine died because in Logan, Wolverine has died, even though that was kind of in the future.
Mm.
But you can always just pull another Wolverine from another dimension. Another dimension, another dimension.
Yeah, see, that kind of stuff there, I couldn't give a fuck about.
But you could, right? But then it also means that everything is meaningless, because who cares if you save this world, because there's another one in, like,
everything
another...
Everything is awesome.
It was...
boring.
No, but more than that, because it was, like, so empty. It was such an empty experience. Like, I felt like I was eating fucking sand, or, you know, like, I was just like... What is the, like, you are eroding 45 years of fandom and goodwill with me by every time you put out something that is fucking substandard and stick a giant Marvel sticker on it.
Mm.
I'm now, you know, not that Iron Man was Citizen Kane, but Iron Man is great and I love that film.
Mm.
And then it just feels like it's been a steady, like, you know, the MCU was kind of fun, but all the TV stuff is just so blah. And I'm the same with Star Wars as well. It feels like with each Star Wars thing that gets released, I like Star Wars a little bit less. Like, it's so capitalized. Like, it's so like, well, we've got to release two Star Wars things a year and here's your Star Wars stuff. And it doesn't matter if it's good or not, because if we put Star Wars on it, you fucking idiot will watch it anyway. That's how I felt, like a moron finishing Loki.
That's why
I felt like... once again, I have been fucking utilized as a fucking spoke in this wheel that just continues to go on.
Stop doing it to yourself. Anyway, we should.
But every now and then, there's something that is good, like Ms. Marvel or Echo, and I'm like, oh, great, this is like,
because they're brand new, really. Like the other stuff, it's like spin-offs.
They're bringing the Netflix characters back, which most people don't like, which I loved. And I think those shows will be great. But again, no one will watch them because they're adult and slow moving and people have the attention span of a fucking 3-year-old.
Well, yeah. Well, if it wasn't so shit, I would have a better attention span. Let's talk about what we're...
I'm not talking about you.
Anyway. No, but you know what I'm saying. Let's talk about what we did this week.
Yeah.
So just because we want to be in the... Zeitgeist, we did Baby Reindeer. You didn't like it?
Ah, Mr. Zeitgeist, did we meet again?
Mm-hmm. So, tell me, you didn't like Baby Reindeer?
No.
Why?
It's bad.
Why is it bad?
Well, everything about it is bad. The acting is bad. The screen... all right, I'll start from the beginning. The script is atrocious. It's bad. The dialogue is bad. The script is boring. Like the line where he's like, you know, and at times like she would be strangely poetic. And then like the line that she has where it's meant to be poetic is like, some people run away by running fast and then some people run away by just standing still. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, but I think that's the nuance of that character. But also, this is the danger.
The nuance of the character?
Because he's like, because it's being tongue
in cheek. There's no nuance in this
show. It's being satirical. That bit there is being satirical. But I think that your issue is...
So if it's bad, it's satirical. But if it's good, then you take that seriously.
No, if it's bad, it's something about Star Wars. But if it's good, it's satirical.
This is not good or satirical. Again, it's another fucking offering from Netflix. It's just like weird, voyeuristic, gossipy bullshit that I don't give a fuck about. These two people could have killed each other. I couldn't have given two fucks. Who cares?
See, this is the danger.
It's such a boring fucking story. Like, what? This sounds like the kind of story that your hairdresser would tell you. Oh, and then there was this woman. Like, he was a barman, and then this woman comes in. And she's like a little bit like crazy, but like he plays her along because she's like into him and stuff. And then it escalates. Like, oh, fuck. Who gives a fuck? The guy is awful. The guy is fucking awful because he strings along a person who was obviously mentally unwell. And the fact that we're even having this conversation at all, like, she's unwell. She's unwell. That's it. End of story. Like, whatever
happened.
It's not
happened, end of story.
It is end of story. Who gives a fuck?
You didn't watch the whole thing.
I'm not going to watch the whole thing because it's fucking atrocious.
So.
And again, it's another fucking situation where people are. I'm allowed my opinion, and that's what this podcast is. You asked me what I thought, and I'm telling you what I thought.
I know, but you just talk for and so long.
You've recorded for 24 minutes. I've spoken for about two. So I'm going to have my little say, and then you can talk about how much you loved it. It's another example of profiting off other people's misery, and I hate it. It's gross. Write something out of your own brain. Use your imagination. Write something that's not based on some awful social interaction that isn't like fucking true crime bullshit. Oh, gross. I really hated participating in this.
So this is the danger when we watch only one episode or something.
It wouldn't matter. I could watch the whole thing. I would hate it even more.
I mean, I feel like you sometimes make your mind up about stuff that you're going to hate it. And then that's it. There's no discussion. And it could be something that if you're a bit more open-minded, you would like it. I'm just saying. Today I watched the whole season, one after another. So watching, this is the danger of just doing one episode. So watching it in its entirety, there's a lot more understanding with stuff. I mean, I'm not saying I loved it. It was amazing because there's actual stuff in this that is really triggering and all sorts of stuff. And basically the self-discovery of, just to touch base on what you said where, you know, he's stringing her along, what we find out later is that he is someone who is very, very, he is someone who's very sick as well. So he is very sick. So you kind of discover later that the reason why he was kind of being nice to her and stuff like that was because he was unwell too. They're both unwell, but in different ways. And it's really, I feel like the guy, Richard Gadd, I feel like he did a really great job doing this role, but I just don't know how, with the amount of trauma that he has had, I just do not know how he was able to act in this role. Like, he's reliving the trauma.
Fame
and money. Do you reckon he's a millionaire now?
Yeah, I think he'd be doing pretty well for himself.
I don't think he's a millionaire because Netflix don't really pay a lot of money. But
he's definitely a pauper and we definitely don't know his name now or are talking about his TV show, or he wouldn't have signed a contract with Netflix or people like... that's why. That's how he was able to do it.
I don't know. I feel like you'd have, if you watched a few more episodes, I think you'd have a different opinion because it's actually pretty... I mean, I hate using this word, but it's pretty brave what he's done. I know, but it is because when it's... I'd heard on the grapevine that there was a few disturbing episodes, and then when I saw it, I was like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, it's pretty full on, the subject matter in this. Are we doing spoilers?
Yeah.
So he's definitely someone who, like... I mean, me just saying these words isn't a I don't think gives it justice, but there's a bit at the end where he's like trying to figure out why he was so nice to her in the very beginning. He's like, I don't understand why I was always so nice to her, because it was obviously that she was sick and blah blah blah. But and it, I'm not doing it justice when I'm saying all this stuff, but he has this realization is that he hates himself. He hates himself so badly. Like, he really just, you know, hates himself, wants to die. That he's got that kind of stuff in his brain, which all stems from a trauma of being raped by someone who groomed him, who he trusted. So there's that kind of that thread there, which kind of that it kind of goes into about how, because she was obviously infatuated by him, and, you know, could he have gone to the police sooner? Could he have done this sooner? Yeah, there's all that stuff where could he, blah, 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 and you know, and he was just caught in a web of stuff. But I feel like the direction of it and the way it was made, I felt like it moved along really fast, and I felt like it was, even with the subject matter, I felt like it was easy to watch. Like, I felt like it was a good... They did a good job bringing his story to film. But you're allowed not to like it. That's fine. But, you know, his dad in it is the guy who's one of the sergeants from Chernobyl. So that's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Always good seeing a nice little Chernobyl, you know, pocket actor just come up in a nice TV show. Yeah, it's pretty disturbing, this show, about the like, sort of what it goes into. But also it when like it, eventually in the end she does stop. But when you think she has stopped, she hasn't. And it's crazy. She's fucking crazy. But not just like crazy, like sick, like she sits there all day in front of his house, like all like this person. I don't know how. I just kept on thinking, how does she pay her rent? She's obviously not working, you know. And then when you see her on Piers Morgan going, no, I didn't like him at all. I don't like wee little boys, you know. You just kind of go, oh, fucking hell, she's crazy. But when he does go to the police and they don't not that I believe him, but they're like, so what? You got a female stalker, good for you. And then he's like, please. And he's like, look, he's like showing them the emails. And they're all like, you're a silly little egg. You're my baby reindeer. And it's fun because the police are like, it's not really threatening. Like, we can't do anything. But then he's like, please just look up her name. And then the cop puts her name in the thingo. And he's like, oh. Can you hang on a second? And this detective comes out. She's like, come with me. So they sit down. She's like, so she is. She's like, she's stalking you? He's like, yeah. She's like, okay, so you've got a problem. Don't ever let her get your number. We've got like 12 cases of her stalking people. The last one was a policeman. Like, really serious, crazy stuff. So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I don't know.
Why wasn't she arrested?
Because she wasn't threatening him.
No, but for the 12 other cases that were open.
Well, she has had issues. Like, there has been stuff where she's been on. But it's just like, you know, she on a probation, got a restraining order, got arrested, got off, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's ongoing, ongoing. But then she eventually, at the end of this one, they were able to like kind of, but the thing is, because she's mentally unwell, they're able to kind of like put her away, but it's a suspended sentence. And then they, you know, put her in touch with, you know, psychologists to help her because she's not. But then she did, the thing that turned it all around was that she did finally become violent, you know, and then they were able to do something. Mm. But which is every case with women anyway. It's like, you know, a million things happen, nothing happens. But then once they're violent, I mean, in this case, he just got glassed. But in, you know, when it comes to sort of the opposite, the other way around, if it was a woman, she'd be dead, you know.
Mm.
Mm. Anyway, but you didn't like it, and that's okay.
No, I didn't like it.
She's really good, like, though. The girl that plays the what's her name, the crazy girl. What was her name? Oh, fuck. I can't remember. Oh, God. I'll look it up.
As soon as we stop talking about this, I will never think about this TV show ever again.
Martha. Yeah. So once Martha, the chick playing Martha is, she's a theater actress. I think she does comedy as well. And that's kind of fun, right?
Does she?
Yeah. She worked with Julia Davies, been in Doctor Who. White Heat, boom, boom, ding, ding, bling, 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 bling.
Why was he dressed in like a vaudeville suit when he was doing stand-up comedy?
Because
like a stand-up comedian would never dress like that.
Mate.
It's so...
No, Damien.
It's such a fucking like...
You're wrong.
Undergraduate, like, oh, this is the tip of the cap to fucking Scorsese and stuff.
No, Damien, you're wrong because... There is, I got it because he's new to comedy, and everyone that's new to comedy, like whenever you get guys that, and women do it too, but mainly it was men, when they got new to comedy, they always had a shtick, and it was always a thing. Like there was like some guys changed their name or some guys do this, some guys wear that. Like there's guys out there now who've been doing comedy for 5 years and their stick is they wear the same pants, same t-shirt, same hat. And that's his stick was, I'm going to be a zany comedian, wear a suit and be silly. Oliver Clark wears a suit.
No, it's his act. The type of suit that I'm talking about. The suit that he wears in this show is the exact same kind of suit that comedians would wear in vaudeville shows in the 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yeah, that's his stick.
And it's also used as a, I can't remember any of the words at the moment. I'm so tired. But it's also used in, what's the Scorsese film with De Niro and Jerry Lewis?
King
of Comedy. Where it's to show that he's a hack as well. That he's a hack and Jerry Lewis isn't.
I've known a few comedians who wear that suit when they do stand up.
A vaudevillian suit.
Yes, Damien.
Purposely.
Purposely, because they think, because they think it's funny to wear the suit. They're like, I'm wearing the suit. And then about a year or two into comedy, they then stop wearing the suit because they realize, oh, it's like hack. I shouldn't do it. But when you're new to comedy, you don't know what's hack when you're new to comedy. So that's why most people, you can't judge them for the first year of their stand-up and then they lose it. But that's what something he references because he doesn't do that anymore. But he was new and he was like, this will be funny. And it wasn't because it was hack. And that's what the show like outlined.
Is.
To show that
that's
he was.
The show is hack.
But it showed, but him wearing that suit as well, like it also showed you how much of how green he was because the person who ends up taking advantage of him is someone who promises him that they can do, you know, help him with his career. And that person who groomed him, who ended up raping him, is, I'll help you in your career. And he's like, that was a, like, watch seeing that suit as well, and knowing so many comedians start off doing comedy, doing that suit, because they think they're like, no one will think of this, I'm original. And he had the same thought where he's like, it'll be zany, I'll be so funny, and I'll get up there and be like, I'll do fart jokes in this suit. And then obviously now he doesn't wear it anymore because you go out of it because you go, oh, that's dumb. But it was a, it was symbolic to show how new he was, and it worked. Okay. All right. Well, you're too tired. We should.
I didn't think that's what was happening.
You're too tired. We better wrap up.
I don't think that's what was happening.
I don't agree. I don't agree at all. But you haven't seen it.
I can't believe you like this show. I really can't.
No, I'm not saying saying it's my favorite show. I'm saying that there was really good representations of certain things. It touched on, it was more than just a show about a guy getting stalked. Because it's not particularly funny. This show is not. But like, and he ends up meeting a trans woman. And just that relationship and his whole relationship with sex, because obviously as a victim of abuse, he finds it hard to have relationships because he, you know, he can't, because it's triggering for him. And just that whole thing I thought they did it well. And it was, I understood that why he did things the way he did and his, you know, self-hatred, all that sort of stuff. I thought it was interesting. I didn't think it was funny because I don't think it's meant to be. Is it my favorite show? No, but it wasn't terrible at all, but I thought it was educational and interesting.
I don't know. It sounds like it's your favorite show. I'm giving it 0 grumps.
No, you're just giving it 0 grumps. No. There's worse things that you've watched which are absolutely not tongue-in-cheek that you've given 1 stars to. I think you're being unfair.
That's my score, 0 grumps.
Okay, we're not recording nighttime ever again because you're like miserable.
I'm not miserable. I didn't like the show. You keep giving me this look of like, really, really.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes
didn't
you're like,
like it.
Really stubborn. Like when you decide, nah, don't like it. And but I bet you if someone that you look up to likes it, you'll go, oh, maybe I'll give it another go.
No.
Sometimes I find you're being, oh, okay, well, I'm going to give it 3.5 grumps.
3.5? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Father.
You didn't finish it. You didn't finish it, so you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe finish it and get back to me.
No.
All right, well,
I will
this
not
was.
Be doing that.
Okay, well, I guess that's it. guys. I guess we're wrapping up.
We're wrapping up right now. Thanks for listening, guys. We love you.
Some people have sent us some ideas of what we should watch. Actually, we should... we'll do that next week. We'll talk about the other show we watched in half. Don't worry. Edit that. Take me out. Blah, 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 blah. It's fine. Nah, don't edit it. Leave it in. Leave everything in. Leave my farts in. All of it. Yeah. Oh, nah, it's all good. So send us some messages if you want us to watch stuff. Let us know. Rate the podcast. Give us 5 stars. We'll try and record in the morning. Now I'm yawning. If I'm not yawning, I'm burping. If I'm not yawning and burping, I'm farting. If I'm not yawning or burping or farting, I'm... What, Damien? What am I doing? He's on his phone, so he doesn't know.
No, I'm just looking something up.
Are you looking something up? Are you? What are you looking up? Is it to do with the end of the show?
No, I just want to thank Sarah for her really lovely feedback that she sent through
us. Oh, that's really nice. Thanks, Sarah.
She put a little review on Spotify.
Aw, Sarah.
And it's like, funny as always and a joy to listen to. Thank you, Sarah. I'm not going to say your surname just in case you don't want to read out.
No, don't read out people's surname. You shouldn't even read out her real name.
What? First name's fine.
Maybe she wants some anonymity.
It's public on Spotify.
All right.
Anyway, thank you, Sarah.
Maybe really there's a husband out there that has a wife called Sarah, and he's like, if I fucking hear you listening to podcasts, I'll fucking kill you. Come on, man.
No, but thank you, Sarah. And you can do the same thing. You can interact with our podcast on Spotify. Tell us what you think. Rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Podcasts is probably the best one because that gets us into the charts. And we want delicious power and money.
Delicious.
But, listenership is up and we're charting, like bouncing up and down the film and TV charts in Australia. So thank you.
Yeah, we love you.
Jimmy, but yeah, next week we'll be back to recording at the same time. We would have watched something that hopefully we've both engaged with and we'll be upbeat and bouncing around.
I'm always upbeat and bouncing around, baby.
Not always.
I owe you one again.
Oh, God. Sorry, I'm always up and bouncing around.
I'm getting so joy. All right, I love you.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Love you. Love you.